Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to take this time to thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We hope that you'll tune in each Sunday morning at this time as we endeavor to give you a message of truth. We also have a very extensive website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that can aid you in your study of God's Word. You'll find these radio programs and MP3 files. We have TV videos that are 30 minutes in length that you can examine at your leisure, and a host of other Bible-related material. Please give it a look. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given a regular meeting time of our worship periods and Bible study periods at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We cordially invite you to any and all these services. You will always be warmly received. We want nothing from you. Just come with an open Bible, an open mind, and worship and study God's Word with us. We have been examining the book of Hebrews over the past few months, and we are in Hebrews chapter 6. We are looking at chapter number 6, verse number 2. We began the discussion in verse 2 last Lord's Day, and we will continue for the next few weeks examining verse 2. Let's reread verse 2. Of the doctrine of baptism, of laying on of hands, of the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. We have been looking at elementary principles that are contained in the Word of God. Last week, we examined the baptisms, the subject of the doctrines of baptism. Today, we want to talk about the laying on of hands. Of course, the laying on of hands is a reference to the spiritual gifts that can only be bestowed by the apostles laying on hands on those in the first century. To understand the elementary principles of the laying on of hands, we must first understand why it was necessary. Spiritual gifts were necessary in the first century because the completed Word of God had not been done yet. And so they didn't have a Bible. They couldn't tell their audience to go to the book of Ephesians or go to Colossians or go to 1 Corinthians. They couldn't do that because the Bible was still being compiled. And since the Bible was still being compiled and still being written, they would have spiritual gifts in order to aid in further knowledge in going beyond the basic things that they did to obey the gospel when they heard the gospel, believed it, and obeyed it. After that, they're going to have to know some things about some basic fundamental principles. How is the church to worship? How is it organized? How is it set up? What is the work of the church? Well, what is the responsibility of its members to one another, to the world? All those things are contained in the scriptures, but since they didn't have a copy of the scriptures yet, those things were contained in the vessels of men. Now, understand 1 Corinthians 13 plainly tells us that the time period of gifts were limited. Let me read for you 1 Corinthians 13, and we're going to read verses 11 to the end of the chapter. Listen to what the Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Corinth. He said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, and I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, and I shall know just as I am also known. Now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of them is love." In the earlier verses it says, love never fails. But where there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they shall cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. What this tells us is that the gifts were going to be temporal. They were going to be temporal till that which is perfect had come. And that's not talking about Jesus Christ, because he had already gone back to heaven 30 years prior to this. It's talking about the completed revelation. And so when the completed revelation became available, spiritual gifts would no longer be given because they would no longer be needed. Another aspect of spiritual gifts that we need to remember, that it can only be bestowed upon another by the laying on the apostles' hands. Only by the laying on the apostles' hands could another receive spiritual gifts. Now, to show you that indeed is true, in Hebrews chapter 6, we notice that there were seven men that were chosen to do the work of God. And then it says in verse 6, and when they set them before the apostles, when they had prayed, they laid hands on them. Now, when they laid hands on these seven, they were given the ability to do spiritual gifts. Now, understand that in that seven, there was a man named Philip. Now, Philip began preaching in Samaria in John chapter 8. In Acts chapter 8, he began to preach. And he went down into Samaria. Now, notice what happened. Notice what happened when he went down to Samaria. It says, and the multitude with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying out with a loud voice came out of them who were possessed, and many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. And there was great joy in the city. Now notice in our text that Philip was doing miracles. And then the Samaritans believed. Now notice in verse 14 of this same text. Now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent for Peter and John to go to them. And when they had come down, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as of yet it had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Notice, Philip was doing the miracles. He had the gift of the Holy Spirit. But he could not pass that gift on to others. And so they sent from Jerusalem Peter and John. And when Peter and John came upon those new disciples, not all of them, but some of them, he laid hands on them and they received the spiritual gifts. Notice, Philip couldn't pass it on to another individual, and it can only be passed on by the laying on of the apostles' hands. I also want you to notice that not every believer received a spiritual gift. These gifts were given according to ability as God deemed necessary according to his divine pattern. And so it is a fallacy that so many claim today that they can do gifts of the Holy Spirit, that they can heal, that they could drink deadly things and nothing would happen to them, that they can raise the dead. They can do none of it because they do not have that ability today. Why? The only way to gain that ability is by the laying on of the apostles' hands. And if the apostles are no longer here, and they're not, they are no longer living, then when the last apostle died, and that was John in the early second century, when he died, the gifts died. Now those who were given some gifts, they died when the apostle died. And there were no ability for those men who the apostles laid hands on to give that gift to others. And so that gift was temporary, and it only lasted as long as the apostles were living. They were given the ability to heal the sick, Acts 28, verse 8. They were given the ability to do the works of the ministry. We see when we study the scriptures that in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14, there is a commentary on the use and the misuse of spiritual gifts. And in that 1 Corinthians 12, you will see a list of 9 spiritual gifts. Now, when men laid hands on other men to give them the gifts, when the apostles laid hands onto others, they could not pass them on to anyone else. They did not receive all of the gifts. They just received one of the gifts. And they were not given to every Christian. They were given in proportion to the need that existed and to the ones who had the ability and could use the gifts properly. In 1 Corinthians 12, there was a problem in the early church in Corinth because men were misusing the gifts. They were pitting the gifts one against the other. They were trying to say, well, I can heal. That's more important than you, who can only prophesy. Or the person that had divine knowledge miraculously without knowing God's word, it was given to them. And so they were saying that one gift was above another gift. And Paul rebuked them because he pointed out that all nine gifts work together for the edifying of the whole body. And so all of them were necessary, but none were more important than the other. And they were to be used together in order to further the gospel. He also tells them in 1 Corinthians 13 not to get enamored with those gifts, because those gifts were going to be temporal. They were going to cease, as in the passages we read when we began this morning in talking about the temporary nature of the gifts. In chapter 14, he shows that they did not use them properly, that those that had gifts were causing confusion in the church because they were all using them at the same time, and that was causing confusion and men to think that they were mad. And so, remember, these gifts were given temporarily to take care of the problem of getting the early Christians the knowledge that they needed in order to build the church and for the church to function. If you understood the gospel and obeyed the gospel and became a Christian, how would you know how to worship in the early centuries of the church? How would you know how to organize the church? How would you know who is the head of the church? How would the work of the church, what would that be? How would it be carried out? What would be the responsibility of its members one to another? What would be the responsibility of its members to the world? All those things had to come by miraculous knowledge. And so one of the gifts of spiritual gifts that were given in the first century was knowledge and wisdom. It was given to further their education spiritually so they would know how to function in the Lord's church and fulfill God's will for the early church and the way that it was designed. But you see, the laying on of the apostles' hands were the only way that these gifts could be given, that could be received. So it makes sense that when the last apostle died, then the gifts died. And when that which is perfect came, we have the printed word, we can go to it, it has been confirmed. Therefore, we no longer need to do a miracle to confirm the word. We no longer have to have miraculous revelation, because now we can read the Bible and we can know what the word of God says. Isn't it very interesting, dear listener, that those who claim to do miracles today only do things that you can't see? They claim to heal people who have hearing loss, people who have cancer in their body, people who have leukemia, people who have things that cannot be visibly seen and can be visibly proven that they have healed. They don't heal the blind. They don't raise the dead. Excuse me. They don't drink any deadly thing. They don't do any of that because they know they can't do it and they know they don't have the ability. And so the laying on of hands was an elementary principle that was temporary. It was temporary in order for the church to be edified and to be built up and to function in the way that God wanted it to function. But according to 1 Corinthians 13, those gifts were temporal and they would come to an end. And they can only be passed on by the laying on of the apostles' hands, and no one who received the gift could give another person that gift. And so the laying on of the apostles' hands, make sure we understand they were